All right, everybody. Thanks for joining us for the preview of the USC game. So, lots going to be talked about as far as this game goes. And this is one of the big rivalries of Notre Dame football. So, Jamie and I thought we'd jump on and talk a little bit about it. And then we're also going to have Daryl Rideau from WeAreSC.com come on and talk and give his thoughts on the Trojans. He'll be up for the game and covering it for you. We are SC, and very good friend of mine, even though he is a Trojan and chose to go to USC, but fantastic guy. So I think you'll enjoy that, and he and I have a healthy back and forth over this. This was a lot of fun. So anyway, Jamie, you know, going into this game, you know, they had a whole bunch of injuries, but it sounds like some guys are going to be back. And I think the Hufanga is probably the best guy that they could have come back. And he kind of makes that whole thing work in the back end. And I think that kind of hurts Notre Dame. Now, he's a guy that's also been in and out. So, you know, who knows how healthy he'll be. But, you know, that's kind of a bad news thing, I guess, for the Irish going into this game.
Yeah, he's definitely the best player on their defense, just an impact player. I would compare him very similarly to Alohi Gilman, just in terms of just very instinctual, physical player, maybe a little bit bigger than Gilman, but just a guy who's always around the ball. He's always around the ball, you know, used as a blitzer quite a bit. They drop him down into the box, also makes plays in coverage. You know, probably the best safety they've had in a really, really long time. Since Brian Kelly's been there, that's for sure.
You know, there's no question that this team, when you look at their offense, you know, this is basically, if the quarterback plays well, they're going to be very difficult to beat. And, you know, we've seen the freshman come in, and we saw what he has done, Slovis. And I think that this kid is a really talented player, but you know, when you look at him as well, you know, we've seen him also get a little rattled, that type of thing. I mean, you know, do you think Notre Dame can do anything to kind of rattle Slovis? Or do you think, just like last time, the ball's going to be coming out so quick, probably not much they can do there?
I'm sure they're going to try to get the ball out quickly, but I do think they can rattle him. One, I think, you know, if they're concentrating on getting the ball out quick and limiting their routes because of it, I just don't think that's a good recipe to move the ball. I just don't see them being, you know, efficient enough where they're going to be able to do that multiple times for scoring drives in the game. And even though Slovis is a very accurate player, I'm so impressed with this guy in the pocket and just his accuracy. He's also a guy who kind of, he threw some balls blindly in that BYU game where he threw the ball to guys that he determined pre-snap were, that was his guy, and he stared it down and he got picked three times, including the final one in overtime. And I think, you know, Notre Dame is going to be able to sit on some routes because of that, you know. And I think if they play it right, where some of the underneath guys will be able to sit on routes and they'll have help over the top if they try to go deep. And Notre Dame can do a lot of different things coverage wise, I think, that can kind of mess with Slovis and USC. So it's going to be an interesting chess match to see what Clark Lee comes up with in this game.
When I look at the you know, the offensive line, that's been kind of their downfall over the years, but you know, Tim Draveno is also back, you know, with SC, you know, I certainly a great offensive line coach. What do you think of this group? You know, do you think that this is a group that can handle Notre Dame's front you know, make the kind of plays that they need to make? Do you think that that's a good matchup for Notre Dame, or do you think that they're in a good position here and, you know, should be able to protect their quarterback?
I don't think it's a good matchup for USC, and I do think it's a really great matchup for Notre Dame. You know, for one, I think they haven't really played a defensive line as good and as deep as Notre Dame, so that's going to present a lot of problems to them. I do think the left side is really good. Austin Jackson, Elijah Vera Tucker, he's the left guard. Jackson's the left tackle. Both those guys, I think they really developed well under Drevno, and I think he's done a good job with them. But I look at the right side, they got Drew Richmond as a transfer from Tennessee. I think he's a little bit soft, and I think that's a matchup that Notre Dame can win against their right tackle. McKenzie's their right guard. He's really, really struggled. They replaced him a little bit in the Washington game, went to his backup. He's a guy who struggled with lateral quickness. I don't think he's going to be a guy that fares well if he's going to go up against, you know, Myron Tagovailoa and Jason Admirola and the other defense tackles. And I think Brett Nealon, their center, I mean, that guy is driven back into the backfield a lot. And I know Notre Dame fans have concentrated on Jarrett Patterson and how he's had, you know, some ups and downs as he's kind of progressing in his first year start. And I think Nealon, I can only imagine if Brett Nealon was a center for Notre Dame, because he is driven back a lot. And, you know, he's put on skates quite a bit. He really, really struggled against BYU. And I think Notre Dame is going to be able to get in Slovis' face and push it, because if he has to block somebody one-on-one, he struggles to anchor against the bull rush. And I think Notre Dame can really take advantage of that matchup.
What is there anything in this group offensively, I mean, that really concerns you when you look at Notre Dame's matchup and how they match up against this powerful USC offense?
Well, the receivers, obviously, you know, they have those three great receivers, you know, as good a three as you'll find outside of, you know, Alabama and Clemson, in my opinion. Michael Pittman is just a stud. The guy's a monster. I think if Notre Dame was going to play man all game against him, I think he would go off, right? And I think the same thing with Tyler Vaughns, who's an exceptional player. Amon-Ra St. Brown hasn't really had the impact that, you know, I would expect, but he just does what he's supposed to do, kind of thing. And he's a tough kid. He's a little bit beat up too, but you know, he's a very good player in the slot and just a really tough guy and just catches everything that's thrown his way too. So I think, you know, I look at, they've targeted the outside guys, Vaughns and Pittman, a lot more than they have Amon-Ra. So those are the guys they want to get the ball to. They want to get the ball deep to those guys. I think if, you know, there's instances where Notre Dame, if they're going to play press and try to play man against those guys, I mean, that was when I would worry. Because if you get those guys one-on-one, I don't care if it's Troy Pride, Tariq Bracey, or who Notre Dame is putting out there, I don't really like that matchup one-on-one for Notre Dame. But if Notre Dame is playing it where, you know, they have help over the top a lot of times, then I think, you know, that kind of changes what USC wants to do. And then it's a lot less scary for Notre Dame.
I think that, you know, it's Notre Dame's corners, I don't think have been great in zone coverage. I think they've been solid, but I think what Notre Dame has is two really good safeties and really three really good safeties who kind of understand that concept, and I think that's going to help them out a little bit. What I'd like to see, Jamie, is Notre Dame's corners. I mean, these guys are going to catch balls, but I think you got to be physical with these guys. I really do, and frustrate them. And I think if you can do that, you're going to have a chance to kind of disrupt them. You know, they just seem to play so up and down that I think if you can get in their head a little bit, that's going to help them a lot. Now, let's flip to the opposite side defensively. You know, last year was not very good, but they played Notre Dame pretty tough in that game. And so when I look at this, I say, gosh, this is a, you know, when you look at their numbers, again, they haven't played a lot of great teams. I really think that Washington's way overrated. I just didn't really see a whole lot of athletes when I've watched them play, which is surprising, but just nothing that really stood out. And I you know, we know that Stanford's just okay. BYU's just okay. So I don't know whether when you watch them, whether it's kind of fool's gold, but what is your overall thoughts on their defense right now?
I don't think it's a great defense. You know, we mentioned Hufanga I think he is a great player, but I don't think they have a lot of great players on the defense. I do think the defensive tackles are good. Jay Tufele, Marlon Tuipulotu, that's a really good duo in there. Brandon Peely is like a good third man in that rotation there. I think that group running inside against them is tough because of those guys. And I think they're maybe didn't live up to their recruiting billing earlier in their career, but now those guys are starting to really play and make a bit of a difference. So that matchup inside between Notre Dame's interior is going to be interesting to watch. But the thing is that they aren't great on the edges, and you know, teams have averaged over 6 yards per carry running outside the tackles against them. Their corners are very good athletes, but they're not great at getting off blocks. And I think if Hufanga is not making the tackle, the other safeties aren't as consistent. Maybe don't take the greatest angles, aren't the most consistent tacklers. So, I mean, there's opportunities for big plays, you know, outside the tackles, and which I think is actually a perfect time to have Jafar Armstrong back in this game, because I think that's where, you know, he's not a great inside runner, but I think if he gets some space outside, and I think Notre Dame has done a pretty good job kind of blocking outside for Tony Jones in the last couple of weeks. I think if they block anywhere close to where they did in the last couple of weeks, I think Notre Dame's going to have some chance, some big plays in the running game outside.
Do you, I mean, when I look at this team, the one thing that I think that Notre Dame has going in their favor more than anything is I think that they have by far the best culture out of these two. And, you know, I think that they're more willing and more able to overcome adversity. And so even if SC gets off and starts making some plays, I think that, you know, the way they were able to come back against Georgia and falling just short, I think that that's going to help them in this game. So much of it, and I think both sides probably feel that, you know, getting off to a good start is very, very important. And if you want to be within 7 at halftime and to give your team a shot. So, I don't know. I just have a feeling Notre Dame is just going to be much more mentally tougher in this game, Jamie.
I do as well, and I think that I think one of the things you look at the 2017 game, and things went bad for USC right away, and it was like snowball downhill, like just kept getting bigger and bigger, and everything kept going downhill for them. And I think, and that was actually a pretty decent USC team in the scheme of things, but they just got overwhelmed in that game. And I think USC, you know, ever since Pete Carroll left, they have not been known to be a mentally tough program. And I don't, there's nothing that I've seen in the games so far where I think, man, this is a mentally tough team that they're going to be able, if things aren't going well for USC, that they're going to be able to stand. I think anyone can play great when things are going your way, you get all the breaks, but if they don't get a break and then Notre Dame gets a lead and gets like a couple score lead, you know, they might be able to make a play or two to get back in the game. But I just, you know, there's a lot I can see if Notre Dame all of a sudden starts running the ball with them, or Notre Dame starts beating them up in the pass rush wise, or they turn the ball over, which they've done 13 times this year. I mean, I think when you do that kind of thing, that kind of shows you're not, you know, confident, because you're always thinking of what can go wrong next. And I mean, there's a reason why they're 3-2.
What do you think are the key matchups in this game, Jamie?
Well, I think the defensive line, Notre Dame's defensive line against USC's offensive line is going to be important, because in my opinion, I think Clark Lee is probably going to play, two high safeties most of the game, and that's what I would do in this game. Certainly that's what BYU and Washington did for most of the game, and that took away those deep chances. And they've had 12 receptions of 30 yards or longer on the year, which is a lot, but they only had 3 in the BYU and Washington games, which they lost, and that was because they took that away. And if you take that away, you basically dare them to run the ball, and in order for them to run the ball, they got to win the matchups up front. And I mean, I don't know if I can't see USC consistently winning the matchups up front to run the ball, even if they do have kind of favorable numbers down there. So I think that's a huge thing. I think I'd like to say, you know, Notre Dame's cornerbacks against the receivers, but I really think it's going to be a by committee type deal where they're going to bracket Pittman. They're going to make sure that they're kind of covered off, so they're not giving up giving them chances at big plays. So I think on the defensive side of the ball, that's what I see the key matchups for Notre Dame. Offensively, I think the tight ends for Notre Dame, I think it's going to be huge. You know, I mean, obviously we've talked about early in the week on power earlier this week that 12 personnel, you know, one back, two tight ends with Tommy Tremble and Cole Kmet, that has become a bread and butter formation. That is the base formation for Notre Dame. At least it has been towards the end of Virginia and in the Bowling Green game. And I think you'll see that again. And tight ends have had a lot of success against their safeties. They play a lot of man coverage because Clancy Pendergast has, you know, he thinks his athletes are better than the guys that they're going to face. But when you do that, you subject your guys to play man coverage. And I think their corners can play pretty well in man coverage, but their safeties have struggled against some of the tight end matchups. Washington had a really, really big game with their tight ends against them. Colby Parkinson had a really big game against them, Stanford's tight end. And I could see Cole Kmet and Tommy Tremble really going off in this game and having a big, big game for that. And then I just think too, just I think, you know, some games, you know, like in the Georgia game, I don't think it was going to be a losing proposition for Notre Dame to run the ball all the time, considering where it is. But I think when you look at USC, and I think also too in the mental, you know, you talk about the culture and the mental toughness, I think you run the ball on USC and especially gash them outside where they've had problems stopping the run, I think that's going to break them down. And I think that's really, really important for Notre Dame to win those key matchups. So it comes down to the tight ends and the receivers. And if those guys block well in this game, I think, you know, Notre Dame's going to have some chances to make some big plays running outside on the perimeter.
All right, folks, that's going to be it for Jamie. We're going to bring Daryl Rodeau on here shortly, and we're going to talk to him about his thoughts on the game and get some updates on some guys that are injured and, you know, some intel about some of the personnel, that type of thing. So thanks for Jamie. Thanks for coming on. And we'll hopefully have a lot of fun talking about a big win over USC Power Hour on Monday.
Thanks, Mike.
All right. Bye. All right, folks, we're back here with probably one of my favorite people of all time. And that's Mr. Daryl Rodeau. And, you know, I probably talked to, I don't know, maybe, oh, gosh, I would say probably 3,000 kids in my time doing this, maybe more. And this is the one that went and chose the wrong school, but was my favorite guy who chose the wrong school. And he chose to be a Trojan. And I know he regrets that. He won't tell me that, but I know that he regrets that and wishes he was an Irish guy at this point. But, you know, I'm not going to rub it in, Daryl.
You know, Mike, our relationship extends probably about well over 20 years now. I can't believe I'm actually saying that, because that either dates me or it extremely dates you.
It does. Okay, dates me.
But I do recall back those conversations that we had in the late 90s when I was contemplating on becoming a, you know, Fighting Irish, and taking my trip to Notre Dame. And really contemplating between that and USC. And if it wasn't for the unofficial trip that I've made during the winter time, and really truly understanding how cold it gets in South Bend, Indiana, I might have become a Golden Domer.
Yeah, well,
but I have no regrets. Love the fact that I got a chance to wear the Cardinal and Gold and play two sports there, track and football.
Well, I knew that there was no chance you were coming, because it was like 68 degrees out. And you showed up with, like, some parka, like you were going on, like, some Alaskan bobsled thing. I don't know what the heck was going on, but I could tell right then and there you were too soft to play for the Irish anyway.
fair enough. So.
All right, guys. Well, I we did bring you on for your expertise about the Trojans. For those who don't know, you know, Daryl works for wersc.com, which is, you know, I love the site because my good recently departed friend, Gary Paskowitz, you know, I've just had such a great relationship with him, and I know you really enjoyed Gary as well, but you know, you work for them, and you'll be at the game. So, are you excited to come up and be in greatness one more time?
I am, because this will be, you know, it's one thing to be there being recruited, another playing, and just having the perspective against a great Notre Dame team. I think that for the first time in quite some time, that they may be ranked where they should be based on how they're performing. Now, what's interesting about this particular game is Clay Helton, the head coach at USC, has been under a lot of scrutiny and controversy, in particular about the instability of the athletic department. But he's done a remarkable job of using the Brian Kelly blueprint. He and the former athletic director, Lynn Swann, elected to take a page out of Notre Dame's handbook and kind of revamp the coaching staff. And in doing so, Mike, he brought in a lot of teachers, a lot of guys that that he trusted and respected in their abilities to coach and teach. And we're seeing improvements in areas. Now, this team doesn't have quite the experiences that they'll be facing on Saturday. But I will say this, from an athletic standpoint, they will not be outmatched. This is a team that should contend well position by position. But when it comes to the details and the lack of experience, sometimes it rears its head at the wrong time.
Yeah, and I think that's what we're looking at. I feel bad for Clay Helton because I think he's a pretty good guy, and I think he could probably do a good job. I think maybe he made some bad decisions and some coaching hires and things that he was doing initially, but I think he's a good guy, and I think he's a smart guy. Will he make it through the season? And I think that this game, unfortunately, is going to be a big milestone for him. And so I think that what you'll see is a Trojan team that's really excited. I think they're going to be well coached. I think they're going to come in with a good game plan, and I think this game's going to be closer than a lot of people think because, I remember talking to you last year, Daryl, and, a lot of people thought Notre Dame was going to roll SC, and that didn't happen. That did not happen, and that was a beat-down, mentally beat-down SC team, but they showed up to play, and I think that they showed up to play better than Notre Dame did, at least in the first half. So,
right.
Yeah. Now, I wanted to get to – let's first get to some injuries. I know you know a lot about it. Obviously, at this point, you do expect Keaton Slovis to play, correct?
Well, Keaton Slovis has cleared concussion protocol, and he has been deemed the starter going into this game. Now, for those of you who are unaware of who Keaton Slovis is, he went to school in Washington, and his offensive coordinator was none other than Kurt Warner. So he was able to pick up a lot of things. And the one thing that a young true freshman, Keaton Slovis, will come into South Bend, and the first thing that you'll notice is his demeanor. He's very poised, seems to have a true command of what is being asked by him by new offensive coordinator Graham Harrell. Graham Harrell runs his version of the air raid, which is a little different than what Cliff Kingsbury or Mike Leach perhaps run, because it is somewhat more balanced, and they are willing to run the ball. And what we found is when USC has had success, it's because they get their receiving core. And arguably, USC's receiving core behind Michael Pittman Jr., Amon-Ra St. Brown, and Tyler Vaughn could be potentially one of the top three receiving cores in the country. In one-on-one matchups, look for Keaton Slovis to try to find windows and pockets to try to exploit the size, speed, and athleticism of those wide receivers. Where USC tends to find themselves in trouble is when teams run a variation of their defense. They run a wide nine technique, meaning they put the defensive ends outside the tackles, maybe put a nose guard to plug the middle, and then they drop eight in the coverage and take away those hot route windows. That's where we found a young Keaton Slovis finding himself in trouble. Look no further than Utah State or BYU if you're looking for examples of when USC kind of fell out of rhythm. And so in this game, expect a lot of quick slants, a lot of quick outs, and then they're not afraid to take a shot deep. But where Notre Dame places fear in Clancy Pendergast, USC's defensive coordinator, is what happens when they get inside the red zone. From what we gathered, they're 20-for-20 inside the red zone. Ian Book accounting for, 17 touchdowns? And this is a young defense that uses a bend-but-don't-break mentality. The strength of their defense is their interior line behind Brandon Peely and a young true freshman stud at edge rusher, Drake Jackson. So up front, they're very stout. But if you can get around the edges, that's what then things tend to weaken for USC. The inexperience at the linebacker position, you got some very talented players, but they are truly out of position. and they're still kind of learning to react. They don't have that Malcolm Gladwell 10,000 hours of experience on the job where it becomes muscle memory. So you see a lot of times a hesitation, and all it takes, you know, against a team like Notre Dame, that hesitation allows for that pulling guard to come around, and now you're sealed.
Yep, yep. So, you know, another key guy in this is Talanoa Hufanga, and I think he's a tremendous player and kind of the glue back there. And, you know, he's been kind of banged up with concussions and other injuries, shoulders. Well, do you expect him 100% at this point?
I do. You know, he's been very active in practice. Didn't play in the game last year against Notre Dame, but is very astute learner. Doesn't make a lot of mistakes, and he is the heart and soul of what USC wants to do. Again, I talked about the strength of their the front seven being the defensive line, but look no further than the heart and soul of the secondary being Hufanga. Hufanga came off before the injury a 15-tackle type of game. Now, you may say that, wow, that's a lot for safety, but this is a guy that reminds me of a guy that I played with in the late 90s, early 2000s, Troy Polamalu. This kid is instinctive. Very, very smart, can reflect back on a play that might have happened four or five series ago, and if you line up in the same formation, he'll start to listen in for cadence, and he'll take his opportunity. But he makes a lot of plays around the line of scrimmage or behind the line of scrimmage, and in coverage. They don't use him as much as they use Isaiah Polamalu. Ironically, it's Troy Polamalu's relative. They use him to cover the likes of, you know, your stout tight end. So that in-game play where these two safeties can interchange will allow for this defense to disguise. At the corner position, however, Mike, if Elijah Griffin Jr., the son of former rap artist Warren G, brings this defense the swagger and the moxie that it's been missing. The corners are very athletic, long and rangy, and they can run with anyone. But the best of the three who is coming off of an injury is Elijah Griffin. If he is able to play, then look for USC to perhaps run more man coverage to allow for the interior nine to try to neutralize that running game.
All right. Do you think, what have you heard on him? I know he's kind of key. Do you think he's going to play?
It's really 50-50. He's effective enough to practice, but it's not the practice that's bothering him. It's like a tailbone injury. It's the recovery from. So he is a game time decision. And behind him, if he is unable to go, then they've been running the true freshman out of St. John Bosco. Now, this kid's story is pretty remarkable. He initially, his name is Chris Steele. He initially committed to USC, then decommitted, went over to Florida, entered into the portal, and was accepted back in, and has really done a good job of kind of filling in and playing in high serviceable moments. Unlike years past where USC gives up a lot of deep balls, this is a team that will contest and contend. But it's when you start bunching them up and the communication breaks down from the lack of experience, that's where teams have taken advantage of their youth.
All right. So, I mean, if you look at their defense, what do you think is their weakness right now?
Containing the edges. So if Ian Book gets outside of the pocket and extends the play, that's where this team tends to fall apart. If you're able to chip, get around the edges and seal them, and teams have had success along those perimeters. The heart and soul of this team, like I said, is the front four, but where their youth and inexperience comes into play is when you start moving in those receivers or you start motioning in and now asking for the secondary, in particular the corners, to be held accountable for run gaps and run fits. Again, the hesitation where the hole opens up and then it closes, and now all of a sudden you have two guys in the same hole. That's happened on occasion. But coming off of a bye week, again, you'd like to think that they would shore some of those things up. This is a team that you'll have success from the 20-yard line to the 20, But inside the red zone, they get a little stingy, and they force you to have to beat them. So if Notre Dame is patient at home, you would expect that they can potentially have the type of success that they've been experiencing, but I would not be surprised if they settle for more field goals than touchdowns early on until they try to figure out what USC is trying to do to them defensively.
Yeah. It should be a really good game because I really think that SC with the extra time, you got coaches coaching pretty much for their jobs and their family security. They're going to be putting in some overtime trying to figure this thing out. And so I really expect this to be a lot closer game than a lot of people think. And it always is. You know, there's a few times where SC will play Notre Dame here and not play as well. And of course, when we had Tyrone and some of those other guys, Notre Dame wasn't very good. But when both teams have good coaching, it's usually a very, very close game. So I'm really looking forward to it. I think it's going to be, pretty soon the days of old where it was, knock down, drag out. And we just got to hope that they tackle like you and Notre Dame will have a chance to win.
That was probably one of the things that I did well. I plastered and I hung on like Velcro, okay? But the one thing that I really feel about this particular thing is we will not disrespect the rival. You will get their best. And if you're going to beat USC in this game, you're going to have to knock them out.
Yeah.
Because they're not going to quit. And this is a team, like I said, very capable. And when they start getting into a rhythm, they're going to kick in those points in a hurry. But again, it's youth and inexperience. We've always come to expect we build in margins, very similar to how the Dodgers gave up when Clayton Kershaw came in, gave up two runs on three pitches. That could very well happen to this USC team. In a series of plays, the inexperience can rear its head. They can get hurt in a hurry and really kind of jump on top of you and force you to play left-handed. So, depending, it's a yin and a yang with this team, Mike. But again, if Notre Dame is playing at the level that they should be playing at, it's not going to be as close as you perhaps think. I'm just convinced that we don't have the right head coach in place to make those sound, detailed in-game changes that you're going to need to beat a team like Notre Dame, ninth in the country on the road.
All right, man. I appreciate your time as always. And, of course, we'll talk after the game because that's what we do. And we'll have a little bit of fun with that. But, hey, always great to talk to you, buddy. God bless you and your family. Hope everything's going well. And we'll talk again real soon after the game. All right, my friend?
Appreciate it, Mike. Fight on.
All right. Take care, my man. Later. All right, folks, that's going to be it for the show. I hope you enjoyed that, and we'll be back with Power Hour on Monday, hopefully to talk about the big win over USC. Hope you enjoyed that. We'll talk to you soon on Power Hour.